Good morning, church family. It's lovely to be with you this morning. Thanks to Kyle and Alicia for leading us in worship and for Pastor Charles for leading us in prayer. And what a great morning it is for us as a church. As Kyle mentioned, we're starting a new series, the Book of Revelation. And what a timely thing it is for us to be doing this morning. As we await news, even potentially this afternoon, of further lockdown measures and restrictions, we have the opportunity to turn our attention to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ and the glorious hope that we have in him. So for best results this morning, I'd suggest you have your Bibles with you, open to Revelation chapter 1, and our passage this morning is from verses 1 to 8, and we have David Muir bringing the reading to us this morning.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty.
The Book of Revelation. What comes to mind when you hear of this book? What's your expectation as we begin this new series together? Is there excitement and anticipation of blessings, of being encouraged by the assurance of Christ's victory, of the defeat of evil and of all things being made new? I hope so. That's the best way to approach it. But for some of us, it can be daunting. Revelation can seem complex and difficult, with its symbols and visions and numbers and judgments, even to the point of avoiding it. Or as a minimum, treat it as a curiosity, as a puzzle to be solved or a code to be cracked. But it's not a Sudoku. Trying to overlay Revelation with the latest world news in an attempt to identify the Antichrist, figure out the technology behind the mark of the beast, or pinpoint when the 1,000 years reign of Christ will begin, remains an unhelpful endeavor. And it misses the point. As we will see even in these first 8 verses today, Revelation is a blessing. It's a blessing for the church. It's a blessing for our church. It's to be read, heard, and taken to heart. And it's being given so we don't lose sight of the truth. Truth of the sovereignty of God and the ultimate glory of Christ in which we share. But how easy it is for us to lose sight. In our frailties and weaknesses, we succumb to physical trials, we're disturbed by the wicked pursuits of man, and we're concerned when a virus we can't control impacts on our lives and brings confusion and suffering. Revelation has been given to us so that we fix our eyes on Jesus, to persevere with hope, to endure with courage, and to suffer with joy. So don't lose sight. Let's join together. Let's prepare to take the words of this book to heart. Let's seek a blessing from our Lord. And let's set our sights on our victorious King. Jesus Christ is coming soon. So as we've seen, we're just looking at the first 8 verses this morning. And I want to view it in 4 parts and see if we can draw blessings from these words. So let's look at the first part, which I've labelled the backstory. The first three verses give us a behind-the-scenes look at the origins of Revelation. From verse 1, the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. What is this book? Well, there it is in the first three words, the revelation from Jesus Christ. Now, some of you are going to claim that's five words. And if you're going to go all mathematical on me, then yes, it's five. But in the original Greek, it's just three words, revelation, Jesus Christ. That's how it starts, revelation, Jesus Christ. It's an unveiling, an uncovering, a revealing of truth about Jesus. The NIV here translates revelation from Jesus Christ. Many other translations use revelation of Jesus Christ. But however we choose to refer to it in English, it is an unveiling of the reality concerning Jesus Christ. And it came from the Father. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him. The source of this is the Father. Imagine Jesus sitting at the right hand of the throne of God and his Father hands him something. A special something. A picture of his glorious future, of his church enduring through suffering, of his battle with evil, of his ultimate victory and the new creation. What a gift. And why did he give it? Which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. It was given to show us. The Father wants to show us what must soon take place. Don't lose sight of it. And how did it get to us? Well, put your hand up if you've had a home delivery while in imposed isolation. Yes, a few hands there, I think I can see. Maybe you've had some groceries or some Uber Eats delivered. Well, whatever it is, I'm sure it doesn't beat this delivery to someone in isolation. The end of verse 1, he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. This is the Apostle John, the disciple whom Jesus particularly loved, who wrote the gospel bearing his name. John was now an old man, probably the only remaining apostle, about 60 years after Jesus' earthly ministry. John had been persecuted, silenced, exiled to an island, isolated. And he received a delivery. An angel comes to him with something to show him. It's come from the throne of God. And John testifies to everything he saw. The beginning of Revelation shows its unique origins. Yes, all scripture is God-breathed, and men over the ages wrote as the Spirit inspired them. But the book of Revelation has a most exceptional beginning. As the Son watched with heartfelt compassion over his church, his loving Father gives him something and says, "Show them." And Jesus, with great delight, summons an angel with the instruction, "Take this to my beloved John. It's for my church." Can you see how special this is? Don't lose sight of it. And then verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Here is a blessing. To read aloud, hear, and take to heart what is written. Have you found yourself reading government regulations more often these days? I certainly have. Stay-at-home directions, restricted activity directions, and of course that old favourite, face masks and coverings. We can read the words, hear the words, but if we don't take it to heart, we won't wear a mask and we end up at Bunnings. Really, why is it? For people refusing to wear a mask, the go-to destination seems to be Bunnings. In the good old days, it was mainly bank tellers and 7-Eleven cashiers who had to prepare for an encounter with criminals. Now the humble Bunnings staff member needs to not only know to head to aisle 12 to fix a leaky tap, but also how to debate the Charter of Human Rights. We can read and hear words, but unless we take it to heart, our behaviours do not change. The blessing of revelation comes to those of us who keep it in our minds, in our memories, in our affections, in our attitudes, so that through difficulties we can be comforted, encouraged, and push on. Revelation is not targeted to the theologically elite. It was given to show the likes of you and me. So let's not join with those who claim it is out of reach. Just like the Old Testament prophecies and Jesus' use of parables, Revelation in its symbolism is written to reveal Christ to the faithful heart, while the hardened heart declares it foolish. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. There is a promise here of blessing in reading and hearing. So we're going to do that now and read another portion of Revelation. Let's read Revelation 22, right at the end of the book, verses 6 to 13. And I'm not going to preach through it. We'll simply let God bless us through the reading. But you will notice some similar phrases here to what we have in these first eight verses. And take note also of the interaction between John and the delivery angel. So let's go back to David.
The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, 'Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and all who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I'll give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end."
Thanks, David. And may God bless that reading of Revelation. Let's return to verse 4 here of chapter 1 and the second part of our passage this morning. We've seen the backstory, now the greeting. Verse 4. "John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ." Revelation is a letter, and we come to the first instance of the number seven. We'll see it again shortly. In fact, the number seven plays an important symbolic role right throughout this letter. What is its purpose? Well, since creation and the seventh day, which was set apart by God as holy to rest from his work, the number seven represents fullness and completeness. And here we see John addressing his letter to seven churches. In this case, they were seven literal geographic churches in modern-day Turkey. But the reference to seven is also symbolic of the fullness of Jesus' church. All churches, in all places, at all times. And as such, this letter is rightly considered to be for us, Beaconsfield Baptist, in 2020. And look at this greeting: "Grace and peace to you, from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ." Here is a blessing, a personal greeting from our triune God. Now, we're all familiar with greeting cards, but how about those oversized novelty cards with space for a group of people to each write a note, maybe for someone's birthday or thanks on leaving a job? And it can be special to receive when everyone involved contributes to the well wishes, each one taking the time and making it special to get involved in the sentiments. Now, I'm not suggesting Revelation is a novelty greeting card, but it is a greeting from the Father, the Spirit, and the Son. Together, they know how much we need encouragement. Together, they know the difficulties we face and struggles. Together, they want us to know we have their favour and their peace. Don't lose sight of the interest our God has in us. Greetings of grace and peace have come to Beaconsfield Baptist from the highest heaven. And there is blessing in these words of greeting. I mean, look at our God here in verses 4 and 5. The Father is the one who is and who was and who is to come. Eternal, uncreated, holding good and wise authority over the universe in every moment of history. The Spirit, symbolized by seven spirits. There's that number seven again. The fullness of the power to transform lives. The Son Jesus, faithful witness, risen, ruling over all human power. What picture does that give us of our God? Take some time to dwell today on these descriptions. I know we might be spending time looking at news reports and new regulations, but balance that with a view of this, our God. There is no situation we can find ourselves in, no challenges, no suffering, no persecutions, no pain, no trouble, for which this triune God is not sufficient. Don't lose sight. There is no moment of history during which the Father is not sovereign. There is no need you have for which the Spirit does not have the resources. And there is no power, no deceit nor death that can overrule the Son. What blessing to receive a greeting from this our God. Don't lose sight of the throne room of heaven. They haven't lost sight of us. And who are we to have such favour toward us from Almighty God? It should move us to thankful worship. And that's exactly what it did for John, as we move to the third part of this scripture passage, the worship. Let's look there at the end of verse 5. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. This is classic doxology, a worshipful response to truth. We see it in many of Paul's letters. That memorable one when Paul writes those first 11 chapters of Romans and then bursts into praise. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Now here we have John, seeing this greeting of favour from God, being overwhelmed at how he came to receive such a blessing, such an undeserved, wondrous blessing. And how did he? How did any of us come to be worthy of a blessing from the Almighty? Jesus made it possible. To him who loves us, and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. Jesus did it. Look at all those actions here. It's all Jesus. Loves us, freed us, made us. His work. The book of Revelation is full of expressions of worship. And the very first comes from the Apostle John. And it's an expression centered on what Jesus Christ has already done. Don't lose sight of the gospel. Don't let the enormity and miraculous nature of the gospel fade in the distractions of daily life. Don't lose sight of the unlovable state we were in, deserving of wrath when he loved us. the imprisoned state we were in, enslaved to sin, from which he freed us. The broken state we were in, haters of his Father, out of which he made us a kingdom and priests to serve his Father. And don't lose sight of the cost he was willing to pay. He has freed us from our sins by his blood. If this is what he has already done, then where could you possibly find yourself that's beyond the reach of his loving arms? In what situation could you possibly be in where the blood of the Son of God loses its claim on you? The blessing of these words, of this expression of worship, if we take them to heart, is the assurance it brings to those with faith in Jesus Christ. His finished work was extraordinary. His unfinished work is going to be something to behold. The profound success of his first coming to earth shows that nothing can stop the success of his imminent second coming. And here's a bonus blessing. Proclaiming his saving work, as John does here, is in itself an unveiling of who Jesus is. So when we worship, we are participating in the revelation of Jesus Christ. This book of Revelation, as we've already noted, is full of worship from a vast array of earthly and heavenly creatures. And on each occasion, it speaks clearly, clear truth on who Jesus is, or what he has done. Who is the focus of our worship? Let's be ever mindful of ensuring our worship here at Beaconsfield is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now we need to head into our final part, and we haven't even explored the blessings of being a kingdom and priests, such a privileged position in which we share the riches of his glory, but also a position of responsibility. So we'll see over the coming weeks, as we look at the individual letters to the seven churches, there are expectations from our God on being a kingdom and priests, on the purpose and purity of the church, expectations of reflecting Jesus. And I'm sure we'll be challenged as a church and blessed by taking to heart those words that we'll read and hear in these coming weeks, God willing. But let's turn to verse 7, our final part today. We've been blessed by the backstory, blessed by the greeting, and blessed by the worship. Now we come to the conclusion. This letter has been given to show us what must soon take place. And I've been encouraging us today to not lose sight of it. Keep Jesus Christ in sight. And now we're commanded to do just that, to look. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. This conclusion of our passage today mirrors the conclusion of the book of Revelation itself, with its vision of the returning Christ. We've just started the book, and already we're told to look for his second coming. Look upwards. He is coming with the clouds. Just as he ascended after his resurrection, so will he return. And there's no way you will miss it. It will trigger the monumental conclusion to world history. And it's interesting, isn't it, there? All peoples on earth will mourn. Perhaps for the saved, there will be some mourning that it was our sin that sent this glorious Christ to the cross. But for those who continue in their rejection of Christ, they will mourn because of the horrible realization that it's all too late. The judge has arrived, and the court of eternal judgment is now in session. It will be an awakening to the fact that true faith in Jesus Christ is the only thing that matters. Job titles, bank balances, possessions, reputations, all worthless. The arrival of Christ will reveal him as the only one worthy. So shall it be. Amen. Can you join in that amen? The blessing in these words is that it is going to happen. Look out for it. the current state of brokenness we live in, with earthly authorities unable to guarantee health, unable to guarantee comfort, unable to guarantee a functioning society, this is not how the story ends. Don't lose sight of the guaranteed return of Christ, and it's guaranteed because God himself has signed off on it. Look at verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The Almighty has put his seal on this vision. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. He's the first word and the last word. He is the origin of the universe and its conclusion. So don't lose sight. When we take our eyes off Jesus, we ask, who am I to face the challenges each day brings? And we ask, who am I to strive through this suffering? Better to ask yourself, who is God? Who is God? He is the Almighty, and he gave us the revelation of Jesus Christ to sustain us and to overflow our hearts with hope. It came from the throne of God. It came with a personal greeting. It's full of worship for his finished work, with a call to look for his return when he will complete his unfinished work, the things that must soon take place. Let's take to heart the words of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is a blessing. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for revealing to us the full glory of the victory of Jesus Christ. Please help us to take to heart these words, not just this morning, but over the coming weeks as we explore what you have sent to John to show us. We ask the Spirit to apply the grace and peace of your greeting to our heart. May we know your favor, and may we know that peace. And may our lives be full of worship as we anticipate with great hope the coming of our Lord Jesus. Bless us in all these things, even this week, we pray. Amen.